You're listening to KNKX. This next story comes from our weekly show, Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host, Gabriel Spitzer.
New laws can look good on paper, but in the real world, over time, they can lead to whole new problems, or at least complications. Take this law in Oregon, the bottle bill. It started back in the 70s, and it basically works like this. Cans and bottles that hold juice and soda are sold with a deposit. You pay an extra 10 cents when you buy them, and if you want that money back, you have to return the empties, you know, to encourage recycling. Today, with curbside pickup on trash day, a lot of people don't bother returning them. And those unclaimed dimes really add up. In 2015, it was $30 million, hundreds of millions of cans that were never returned for the refund. So for anyone willing to go through the trouble of finding them and returning them, it's basically free money. And that has spawned a whole cottage industry. In this story, we are going to meet a can collector who depends on those dimes and find out if it still makes sense to have this law on the books. Sound Effect contributor Joel Shupak takes it from here.
It's Wednesday, recycling night in the Grant neighborhood of Portland. Streets are lined with brightly colored plastic bins. A man named Corey is digging through them, looking for cans.
We're in Northeast Portland, and we are collecting deposit recycling to get that cheddar.
Corey is 41. He wears a sweatshirt and a newsboy cap. A trim black goatee hides a kind face, weathered by circumstance.
A little under a year ago, I found myself out on the streets, you know, sleeping in a tent, having need of cash pretty bad, and a friend of mine, who has been doing this for like years and years, kind of showed me the ropes, let me know what neighborhoods are popping on what nights.
The trucks will come in the morning, but tonight it's open season for anyone trying to make a buck. Or, you know, that cheddar. Corey is what some would call a gleaner. He collects cans and bottles on recycling night and cashes them in for the deposit. After living on the streets for several months, he managed to get back on his feet. He lives indoors now and finds occasional work, but he never gave up on gleaning.
Knowing that the cash is out here to be had, it's kind of hard to not come out and do it.
I've always thought this whole economy of can collectors was really nuts, like a strange unintended consequence of an outdated law. I mean, the whole point of the bottle deposits is to keep recyclables out of the landfill, right? Corey hauls his cans around in three heavy-duty trash bags, tied together and draped over his body.
And I essentially wear them like a coat to distribute the weight across my shoulders.
This is how he makes part of his living, 10 cents at a time.
There's a sound that lets you know there might be something in there, is the echo of the aluminum. That's one big tip-off.
Corey hopes that soon he won't need to do this any longer. And as for what's next?
Maybe I'll be a poet. I always liked poetry and had a knack for the English language.
We continue through the neighborhood from bin to bin. Corey's trash bags slowly fill up with cans. And I just keep thinking, all these cans are already headed to recycling centers. In the morning, big trucks will rumble through and collect them all. They're going to be recycled. So why is Corey being rewarded for taking them to be, what, more recycled?
I've spent my whole life worrying about garbage. I got tuned into it at a very young age.
This is Victoria Berger. She was an Oregon State Representative until just a few years ago. It seems crazy, but the whole economy of gleaners in this state can actually be traced back to a single morning on a particular Sunday in the late 1960s. Victoria was still in high school, and her father, Richard Chambers, was reading the newspaper.
And he stood up and he said, "That's it, that's the answer." And my mother and I kind of looked at him and said, "Not sure what the question is." And he said, "Look at this article." And he had a little article from the Oregonian.
The article was about a new law in Canada. It required a deposit on all cans and bottles. To Richard, this was a revelation. He spent as much of his life as he could hiking and kayaking around the state.
He traveled the entire world, and he never saw anything he loved as much as Oregon, and he kind of, I mean, we all agreed with him. Oregon is paradise.
And Richard's paradise was starting to fill up with beer cans.
They were everywhere, in places that he'd hiked and had been pristine and beautiful, and they were a huge high percentage of the litter that was being seen.
Aluminum cans and glass bottles were starting to crowd the trails. This was before recycling had really caught on, so people just threw these containers in the trash, or wherever they happened to be.
Dad was seeing more and more of these containers, and when he saw this article, he just basically said, if you could force it to be refundable, it would have value, and it wouldn't end up being thrown out into these pristine places. He called his state representative that moment, that day, and he was a salesman, and he just saw it as a sales job. I have to sell this to the legislature.
Richard wrote endless letters to politicians and industry folks to share his idea and to gather information. He used exotic stationery to catch their attention.
You know, hotels always give you stationery. He always took that because people would always open a letter that came from the Manila Hotel or the, you know, Montevideo something.
And this was a long time ago, before you could just Google everything.
And he did massive research. He knew how much electricity it took to turn aluminum into a can.
In 1971, the bottle bill passed. In the decades that followed, recycling really changed. Curbside pickup became more common, and with inflation, the deposit was less and less of an incentive for everyday Oregonians. Fewer cans were getting returned, and more were ending up in recycling bins instead, for people like Corey to find.
So I was kind of operating under the assumption that all these gleaners were basically being paid to sort of shuffle cans from one place to another. They didn't seem like they were doing anything useful.
Oh, no. Anybody who redeems is doing something useful. They're taking it to a reception center. It's going into that pure stream, which is where you can make economic sense out of recycling.
Pure stream. Did you catch that? Victoria says that gleaners are doing something useful. Recycling is expensive, and part of that expense is the cost of separating out the different materials. The recycling that's picked up curbside is not pure stream. It's all mixed together.
If you just throw it in that bin, somebody has to separate it. The reason that the bottle bill works is that it's pure stream. You have done the sorting already.
In a sense, by leaving our cans and bottles in recycling bins, we're paying gleaners to sort them for us, paying with the deposit we already paid at the grocery store. And in return, they help create that pure stream Victoria talks about.
I think if I were homeless, I'd do it too. It's money!
And now that we're talking about money, remember that $30 million of unclaimed deposits? Do you wonder where that goes? It doesn't go to the government, or to the grocery stores, or to pay for education or some noble cause. It goes right into the pockets of the beverage distributors.
I mean, do you think that makes sense?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care, because that's what runs the system.
She's right. Part of that money does pay for the redemption centers, where people like Corey bring their cans and turn them into cash. The morning after collecting cans, I meet Corey at an Albertsons. He rode his bike here, with his cans and bottles still in trash bags, tied together and balanced on his shoulders. Outside the grocery store is the bottle redemption room. It's cold, the floors are sticky, and it smells like the dregs of 1,000 beer cans.
I'm just feeding these cans into the machine one at a time.
Everything is automated. Machines scan each container, and a little screen displays a running tally.
It's not a bad haul. Not the biggest, but also not the smallest. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm upwards toward $30.
That's $30 that no one thinks about, gathered when most of us are asleep. Until we can come up with something better, I'm going to start putting my cans and bottles in a separate box for the gleaners, and hope that it's Corey who gets to them first. Until he doesn't need to.
That story from Sound Effect contributor Joel Shupack.